so which is
just want to talk about some of the points in chat, like, more based on like the reading and things that just pop out as you read the daf. So first point is on the Yoro Malkus, the beginning of the Gemara. The Gemara said that the pasuk says in Shema Nasati Mitar Arzachem Bito Yoro Malkosh, and the Gemara is giving different explanations of what Yoro means. So top of the page, it says Yoro Mores Arbios. It instructs people to take in their things because the winter is coming. It's Marves Aretz. It quenches the earth. These are all brachas. Tavar Acher. Then Yoro Benachas. It comes down gently, but not with. So this is a gentle rain, it's not coming with a storm, with anger. And then the Gemara says, oh, Eino, the Gemara questions, it's a Brisa. So the Brisa questions itself, is this really all beneficial? Are we sure that it's beneficial rains? Maybe it's a Klala. In the second to last line before it gets white. Oh, Eino, or maybe not. Eino Yore, Ella, and maybe it's not Yore only, meaning maybe it only means Shemashir Sapera, so it makes the fruits fall. It floods the seeds. When it floods the trees. So how do we know that Yora is a rain which is a bracha? Tamaloma Malkosh. So the Gemara, the Brisa says, it says Malkosh in the same breath. Ma Malkosh lebracha, av Yora lebracha. Just like a Malkosh, the late rains are understood that it's a bracha, so to Yoro is a bracha. And the Gemara questions that itself. Well, in a Malkosh, Allah Shemapil Sabatim, Meshaber Sailanos, Matlas Sakaim. Maybe not. Maybe Malkosh itself means that it makes the houses fall, breaks the trees, and brings locusts. Tamaloma Yore. So the Gemara flips back to Yore. Well, the Gemara says, Yore, Ma Yore the bracha, Malkosh the bracha. So it goes in a full circle. The Gemara says, well, Yore has to mean bracha, so Malkosh has to mean bracha. The Gemara itself says, what do you mean? And we just asked you the question, Yoro Gufa Minalan, and Yoro itself, how do we know that? That it's a bracha. We just question that. So the Gemara finally goes back to the pasuk we mentioned before, in the daf before, from Nach, Dichsiv, Menetzion, Gila Vesimcha Vashem, Lakechem, Kinasam Lechem, Vesamor, Litzlaka, Vayorachem, Geshem, Moro Malkosh Barishon. So the pasuk says that, Menetzion, the sons of Zion, you're going to rejoice with Hashem. He gave the Mora for, as its tzlaka, as a great righteous thing, and may the rain fall down for you, Moro Malkosh. So you see over there, it's talking about this prophecy of great things that are going to happen, and everyone's going to be happy, so it must be that the Yoro there is a bracha. But the Gemara had a havam, you know, on both sides, that maybe Yoro is not a bracha. Maybe Malkosh is not a bracha. Maybe Yoro. Right, so the question is, and Rashi brings this up, but how is it possible to say that Yoro Malkosh is not a bracha? And we say in Shema every day, I'm going to give you the rain. That's a bracha. Right. It's the question that you asked. So I'm trying to address questions that people ask like later on in the week if you don't have time at that time. So let's take a look at a couple of points here. So there's Rashi and then there are Marsha and others that ask on Rashi and other explanations. So the Rashi on Divrei Maskil says hegemon, Oino Elisha Shotef Hazraim. That's going on the line the Gemara asked. Maybe it means that it's flooding the maybe Yoro means that it's flooding the seeds. The seeds are planted in the beginning of the season. So the Yoro, which is the early rains when things haven't even grown, they're just seeds, maybe it's flooding the seeds. Klamar Dad Hash, meaning to say Dad Hashtar Minan Yoro Levracha. Until now, we have been saying that Yoro is for a bracha. Oh, Eino, Ella, Yoro, Lashon Klala. Actually, just explaining, Gemara's question is, maybe Yoro is a language of Klala, of curse. Kamo Yoro Yare, Shmos Yotes. Shmos Yotes, that's the pasuk, that's the psukim about Matan Torah. Hashem says, if anyone comes too close to Har Sinai, they'll be Yoro Yare. They'll be thrown down or shot. They're going to be killed. It's going to be a terrible thing. Shover HaKol. It breaks everything. So maybe the Yoreh, Lashon Yoreh, like Yaro Yoreh, so it's going to break everything. Or Lashon Chetz HaYoreh, or language of a arrow that's being shot, which is also detrimental and destructive. So now, that's Rashi until there was just explaining what the Gemara is saying. And he says, "V'hachi mash makra." And this is what the pasuk is, the meaning of the pasuk. So we call in Yiddish bavarning. He's stiff arming this question. It says v'hayim shama tishmo, and if you listen to him, it says you'll get these brachas. So how can you say it's a klala? It's a lashon of shooting and all these destructive things. So he says v'hayim shama tishmo v'sasai v'chulei v'im lav. And if not, v'nasatim tar arzachem yora l'ra. And if not, I'll give you the reign of your land yora as a bad thing. Milsa ba'almahu. Milsa is like a matter. It's ba'alma means it's only a matter. It's only a word or a matter. For aruchah the brayso the misna ki hagavna, and it's the way of the brayso to teach like this. Not clear from Rashi. What does he mean milsa ba'almahu? So he's saying that he's saying you're right. The simple meaning of the pasuk is that yoro malkosh is for a bracha. But you could read it that Hashem says that same bracha. If you don't listen, then that yora will be a klala. It's a choppy read; it doesn't read well. Mm-hmm. The Achronim ask on the Rashi here, like, Rashi is not satisfying the question. Right? So the question is better than the answer. The Marsha, trying to find it here. Oh, I'm gonna give up. Okay. They don't have it. Let's read. It's just a short thing here. He brings Rashi, Vuhu Dachuk. And Rashi is difficult to understand. Eliyesha Farish. So Marasha also gives an answer, but some people ask on the Marasha that it's not so satisfying. But Marasha brings Rashi, he says, Vuhu Dachuk, it's hard to understand. And he just paraphrases it. He says, this is what the pasuk means to say. Masatim ta'arzacham bi'ito, that yoro malkosh, that when it's not bi'ito, is a klala. And not a bracha, I'm going to bring a bi'ito that it shouldn't be a klala. And as you're saying, Yoram Malkosh, the Gemara is having, Yoram Malkosh really is a klala. It's the first one, or the second one, on Chidisha Agados, Dan Davva, right there. Mm-hmm. So he says, Pirush Rashi, Lashon Klala V'chulei, V'achi Mash Makra. See over there?
This one over there. Okay.
Pirush Rashi says, Lashon Klala. So he says, look in Rashi. And it's hard to understand. He quotes Rashi and he says, Yesh lefarish. He says, this is what the pasuk means. Hadachi kamar kra. Masatim taratzacham biito. Oson yoro malkosh. De bishalo biito hu leklava. That yoro malkosh, that when it's not in its right time, is a curse. Velo leracha. And he may be also the be'ito, shalo yela klala. I'll bring it in the right time, there won't be a klala. So he's trying to say that Yoro Malkosh, the Gemara is saying, Yoro Malkosh is. Oh, and the wrong one? Oh, okay, so it's a short thing. The Yoro Malkosh, you could look at it. The Yoro Malkosh, which according to the Gemara's Havina, by definition, Yoro Malkosh is the klala. But that Yoro Malkosh, which by definition is a klala, when it's not be'ito, when it's not in the opportune time, it's being modified by be'ito. So when the pasuk says "Masatim Tarazichem Beito Yoram Malkosh," the Beito is modifying and saying that Yoram Malkosh, which normally is not beneficial, if it's Beito, if it's exactly the right time, you know, in season, whether it's in time of day or seasonally, then it will be a bracha and it won't be any mivir sablachem Beito shlo yelakala miu mishum shlo Beito nikra Yoram Malkosh. But since when it's not in the good time, it's called Yoram Malkosh. It's considered a klala. Kamad ma malkosh uchle akakakul yoro malkosh lebrachu kama haina bito. Fine. So that's how he learns it. That really the Gemara's having is that yoro malkosh can be a klala, but the bito is going to like flip it over to make it that it's not a klala. I saw in the Yaakov Mefarshim in the back of this Gemara they have these achronim. Who comment on the Rishonim, these little short pieces, and two or three of them ask on this Rashi, it's also the same question, and they bring Marsha, and Marsha said, they said Marsha also is difficult to understand because, okay, you're playing with the words, but the bottom line is that the simple reading of the pasuk is that Beito Yoro Malkosh.
Yeah,
Rashi says in the Chukos side that when it says Masati Gishmechem Beiton. The rain will fall when the Gishmei Bracha, rain, when it's for a Bracha, it will fall in the Beitam, means then on Friday night when people aren't in the streets anyway, and it won't bother them. So Beito is timing, which is an Tosefes Bracha. I mean, it's Pasha Pasha is like Geshem is intrinsically is a Bracha. Beito is another Bracha that will be at a convenience. So to say this Pshat Marasha is cartwheels, you know, they're saying.
The Malkosh, if the Malkosh comes in, if they're both in the wrong season, if you get the Malkosh in the fall and the Ura in the spring, that messes things up. So that's why you want to be with Yitai.
Okay.
Can it mean season, or does it mean like time of day?
But the pasuk is talking about if you listen to mitzvahs, you'll get your Malkosh. If you don't miss it, besides the minadarech, if you don't miss the mitzvahs, then I'm not the main of Malarat Adama. So, how are you going to say that when it says, I'm going to give you rain, Be'ito Yoro Malkosh?
Be'ito, you get in the right time. If you get it. So, it could be if you don't eat in love, then you don't get rain at all. Or if you do get rain, you'll get it at the wrong time and it won't help your crops.
The context of this, the flow of this problem. Right. But, so what's the problem? So, right, so what, the thing that's confusing about the Marasha is that the Gemara, next piece of Gemara, says the whole difference between Yoram and Malk, which is timing. I mean, right now this price is saying that there's a quality of Yorah that it's gentle, or you know,
right,
it's
right. So there's different kinds of rain.
But the Gemara says later that Yorah and Malkosh is just in terms of timing. So if Yorah is early rains and Malkosh is later rains, so what is the timing of time of the year help with the nature of the rains? And as if we're going to say, like the Marashah is suggesting, that Yorah and Malkosh are really terrible rains, maybe they're stormy rains, they're rains that are sharp and they come down, they pound and they destroy. But if they come in the right time, then it's not going to be pounding, it's not going to be destructive, So Marashah says it, so I just wanted to bring it up. The question is more, so, and it's over here in the Gemara. But another pshat, which I think is a totally different way of understanding, but it's based on the Gemara and Brachos. You know, they say that Hadassah Dibre Torah Aniyim B'Makom Echad V'Ashirim B'Makom Echad. If you look at it, one Gemara in a vacuum, it's kind of poor. But if you look at it in context of other Gemaras, it's richer. So there's a totally different answer, but the. So Gemara in the beginning of Ketzer Mevarchim, the beginning of the seventh parak of Brachos, it says, it's actually a well-known Gemara, it becomes a hot topic in yeshivas and so on. It's the Gemara asks the question, it says that you're supposed to learn Torah all day, Yom V'Laila. And it says, V'asafta d'ganecha, Brachos Shema, Hashem will give you rain, V'asafta d'ganecha, V'tirash chavitza recha, you have to gather your grain, you have to work the fields and bring in food.
So when are you supposed to do that?
How do you do that? Is that if you're supposed to day learn that all the time, so when are you going to work? So, Machlokas, Tanaim. One Tana says, Hanig Behem in Derech Eretz, that you're supposed to learn Torah with Derech Eretz, with the way of the land, and you're supposed to balance, and it doesn't really mean to learn every single second. It means that Torah should be on your head, and should be on, have the old Torah and responsibility of Torah all the time, but yeah, you have to go to the bathroom, you have to do Derech Eretz, you have to do other things. That's one Tana. And that's how we pass. The Gemara says that the other Tana wasn't successful. Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai says, that's Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai says that Torah Mate Alea, if people are working, what's going to happen with Torah? Torah's going to be neglected. Torah's not going to be maximized, and people are not going to be learning. It says, Lashon Torah Mate Alea. He says, Man Sheyisal Osim Ritzono Shel Makom, when, in an ideal world, L'achta Nasa Zaydei Achim, and the work will be done through other people, and they won't have to work. Or they won't have to work much, but they're not doing the Ratzon Hashem, that's his language, then they have to do the work themselves. So he's saying that is an ideal world, but then when we're doing the Ratzon Hashem, Hashem gives us almost like man min hashamayim, it sounds, but when we're not doing the Ratzon Hashem completely, then we have to work. So then that means that the pasuk of Shema, which says Hayim Shema Tishmu, is talking about when they're not doing the Ratzon Hashem. Tosfos asks over there, what's Peshat? The pasuk says you listen to the mitzvahs, then I'm going to give you this rain. You're going to gather, you're going to work the fields.
Right.
The pasuk says, if you don't listen to my mitzvahs, then you'll be knocked out of the Eretz Yisrael and you won't have all those blessings. So how could you say they're not doing Ratzon Hashem? It's a pashup shot in the Gemara there. So Tosa says, yes, they're doing Ratzon Hashem, but einan tzadikim gemurim. There are levels. If they're not tzadikim gemurim, then they have to work. Tzadik gomor, which you know, it could be. Since the time of the Churban, we don't have such a thing ever. It's a question unto itself. But Tzadik Gomer would not need to do any work. But Tzadikim She'enim Gemurim, with Tzadikim, they're listening to the mitzvahs of Hashem, but they're not Gemurim. Like, it's not 100% complete in their observance. Then they have to do this work. So, Lachron and Bring, that you see from that Gemara, that even though it's talking about a great situation, that they're listening to the mitzvahs, it's not perfect. It's Einim Gemurim according to Tosos. So since Einim Gemurim, the Asata Leganecha itself has an element of Klala in it, and Yoram Malkush could also be a Klala. So that there'll be, I guess they're saying that it's possible that their rain would it said in the second time, told me, yeah. It said, the Esa B'sal Chal Livim Techa V'achal Tev V'Savata. Pasuk says afterwards there'll be vegetation for the animals, and you'll eat and you'll be satisfied. Mm-hmm. So it's clear that we're not talking about the two pasukim have to jive, right? So if the pasuk says Yoram Malkush, even according to Gemara's Havmina, that it's a curse, and Einan Tzadikim She'enim Gemurim, and you know it's not perfect, but it's still producing the Esev Livham Techa V'Achata V'Savata. So this curse would be that it's gonna be destructive. It's gonna knock down some fruits. It's not gonna knock down houses. It's gonna be destructive, but it's also being constructive on a level because it is producing the food. So that's the halamim that they're trying to say. The Gemara says Yoram Malkush would actually be if you're called. The Gemara says Talmud Lomar. We learn from the other pasuk that Yoram Malkush means a bracha. There's no klala, but and then you still have to say that, like the Tosfos over there, that even though it's a bracha, it's not a perfect bracha. Because a perfect bracha, you wouldn't even have to work the field. But anyway, that's what's going on over here, and according to the Achronim, it's a good thing in Pshat. Fine. Another point I want to talk about is
the Shimon Bar Yochai. I think he's the same one who was in the cave for all his
right, right, right.
And he wanted to come out and smoke everybody for not being ascetic.
Right. So he's consistent in his viewpoint. And he's the same Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. The Gemara says in Shabbos, Taf Yud, I noticed this also back in the Gemara, Shabbos as well, third place, that he says that Toraso Umnaso, a person is completely involved in Torah, that it's his whole profession, it's his whole occupation, he doesn't have any other interest, then he doesn't have to say Tefillah. His Torah is Docha Tefillah. He's so involved in learning, he doesn't have to say tefillah, which is the Rabbanan, and Masa Shaila, tefillah Daraisa, or do you have to daven three times a day, or only once a day? He says Torah Sonasa says, for example, that he himself, Torah would be docha tefillah. So we don't talk about that, and nowadays we don't have anyone in the level of Rav Shimon Yochai, we're all chayiv, even Rav Chaim Kanievsky is davening three times a day. You know, but that's the madrega of being shakua in Torah, that he's completely submersed in Torah and nothing else. He can't even daven. He can't even daven for rain.
So focused, you know.
It's something that's hard to relate to. Yeah. Anyway, that's another discussion. So, the Gemara here, let's go back to a couple other points. The Gemara brought another brisa later on about the within the Yorah, which is the rains in the early rains, there are three revias. So the Braisa said, Ezohi revia Rishona. First word on the line is Yorah, about 15 lines up. The end of the line, it says, Ezohi, the Tanya, as it says in the Braisa, Ezohi revia Rishona. What is the first revia, the first rain? Habechira b'shlosha, marcheshvan. Benanis b'shivaba, hafela b'shivaba, asarba, diber meir. So our mayor says it's the there are three rains, the third and the seventh and the 17th. Rabbi Yehuda Omer b'shiva v'yadzayin v'asmer shlosha. Rabbi Yehuda says 7, 17, 23. Rabbi Yossi says 7, Rabbi Yossi Omer b'yadzayin v'asmer shlosha v'rosh chosh kislev. 17, 23 and rosh chosh kislev. So it keeps on moving forward. So the starting point, according to our mayor, is the third of the month. According to Rabbi Yehuda, it's the 7th of the month of Cheshvan. According to Yossi, it's the 17th of Cheshvan, when the first rains are going to fall. V'chein hayar Rabbi Yossi Omer. So when you read the Brisa, it sounds like it's just trivia. Like, when does rain fall? When should you mark your calendar to expect it? You shouldn't be making a baseball game in the field because you expect the rain. But then you're looking for what the implication of this is. And then it says, V'chein hayar Rabbi Yossi Omer, Eina yechida mis'anin ad rosh ad she'yegei rosh chodesh kislev. So he says, Rabbi Yossi says, likewise he would say, the yechidim, Rashi says the chassidim, they don't start fasting until Rosh Chodesh Kislev, because that's an nafka mina of the last rain is Aleph Kislev. So then if you have to be patient until Aleph Kislev and there's no rain, then you can fast if there's no rain. So fine. So that's how we know the implication of the last rain, that the last rain is relevant in that you wait until that point and then you can start fasting to daven for rain. So Amar Chista Halacha Rabbi Yossi. Chista says Halacha Rabbi Yossi. So in other words, Halacha Rabbi Yossi would mean Halacha Rabbi Yossi that you don't fast until the first of Kislev. That would be what it means by Halacha Rabbi Yossi. Now the Gemara gets a little tangled here. And this is a question that is asked, and they say that Rashi is addressing this question. You read the Gemara. The Gemara Mamish doesn't flow. It says, "Amar Rav Chista." It says, "Ameimar Masni Lahad Rav Chista Bahalishna." Ameimar taught this of Rav Chista with this language. In other words, Rav Chista says halacha lemaisa on something. Ameimar says he wasn't talking about halacha lemaisa on this point. He was talking about a different point. It says, "B'shlosha b'marcheshvan shalom esagashamim." On the in terms of she'elas geshamim, when you start asking for rain. So on the Rabbi Tanakama says you ask for rain on the 3rd of Cheshvan. Gamliel Omer b'Shiva Bar. Rabbi Gamliel says on the 7th of Cheshvan. Machlok is about when the starting point for She'elas Geshamim, having nothing to do with when rain actually falls, but when do they ask for it? So Amar Rav Chista Halacha K'Rabban Gamliel. Rav Chista says Halacha K'Rabban Gamliel that they ask on the 7th of Cheshvan. So
actually, that's what they did.
Right, and you see that the Rambam, the Shulchan Aruch put that they have the bays there. Mm-hmm. So we go like Rambam Gamliel on the 7th. Mm-hmm. So according to this language of Rav Chista, he's not saying halacha like Rav Yossi about fasting on you start fasting, because he's talking about when you start saying the same talamat to the Rav, and he's saying halacha like Rambam Gamliel. Mm-hmm. Now the problem is that if you look carefully, what's this machlokas about she'elas geshamim? It says whether the machlokas is whether you start saying it on the 3rd of Cheshvan or the 7th of Cheshvan. Now that's parallel to the machlokas we had in the first brisa that we just quoted. That when's the first revia? I mean, Meir said the first revia is the 3rd, 3/7/17. Rabbi Yehuda said it's 7/17/23. Rabbi Yossi said 17/23/1. So the three-way machlokas is when do we expect the first revia? Is it the 3rd, the 7th, or the 17th of the month? You following the math over here? It's just the organizing the numbers, right? So Rabbi Meir said the 3rd, Rabbi Yehuda said the 7th, and Rabbi Yossi said the 17th. So if Rabbi Chista is going to paskin, is going to say that we say she'elas geshamim like Rabban Gamliel from the 7th, it would seem like Rabban Gamliel matches up with the middle opinion. The rain starts on the 7th, so you ask for rain on the 7th. Mm-hmm. The Rav, the Tanakhama of this Mishnah, doesn't say who it is, Tanakhama says you ask for Gesham on the 3rd. That's going to be the Shita of Rabbi Meir, who says that the rain falls on the 3rd. Mm-hmm. And you know, the Mishnah doesn't bring a third opinion, but one would think that, according to Rabbi Yossi, who says the first rain is on the 17th, you'd ask for rain on the 17th. So the problem is, the Gemara says Rav Chista taught this. Ameimar taught Rav Chista's teaching Bahalishna with this language. It sounds like he's the same Rav Chista who said halacha. So if Rav Chista is saying halacha like Rav Gamliel, that you start asking for rain on the 7th, then that's like Rabbi Yehuda of the Braisa. It's not like Rabbi Yossi. So how could it be that Rav Chista before Paskin, like Rabbi Yossi, that sound like he was passing in terms of fasting, that you fast on this first of Kislev, but he's going with Rabbi Yossi's opinion. But when it comes to the same Talmud Matar, he's going like Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. that's one way to ask the question. Like, it sounds like an inconsistency in the halacha. Now, truth to be said, I guess you could say that when it says Amemar Masni Lahadra Chista Bahalishna, Amemar taught Rav Chista's teaching in this language, and Amemar had a completely different Mesorah about what Rav Chista said. That in Achinami, according to Amemar, Rav Chista wasn't talking about fasting and about and passing like Rav Yossi. He's passing like Rabbi Yehuda, and he would say that you wouldn't start fasting only Rosh Chodesh Kislev. If you start fasting on the 23rd, Rabbi Yehuda says 7, 17, 23. So you start fasting the 23rd. So it could be that they don't jive, but it's not gishmak to say that a Amemar is turning over Rav Chista to paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. The Gemara says, and then there's another line of Rav Chista halacha. The Gemara goes on. The Gemara says, "Keman Azla." This is where Rashi brings this up on the next piece. So the Gemara goes on, "Keman Azla had the Tanya Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer." Like, who does it go? The following brisa. It says in the brisa, Rav Shimon Gamliel says, "Geshamim sheyadur sheva yamim zeachazeh atamona ben reviyish rishona shniyosh lishis." If you have when rain falls 7 days one after the other, you can have a situation where you're counting in those rains the first, second, and third reviyah. Command to Rav Yossi. It goes like Rav Yossi. So that's another discussion. But the Gemara says that there's a brisa which seems to go like Rav Yossi. Rav Shimon Gamliel says to go like Rav Yossi because he says you can have a situation where there's rain for 7 days in a row, and it falls out in all three reviyas, and that only happens according to Rav Yossi, that there are 7 days between 17, 23, and 1. So 17 to 23 is 7 days, and 23 and 1 is 7 days. How you count it is another question. Tosfos talks about it if you have time. You can look at that. Tosfos, how you count the 7 days. It seems like it's 8. But the point is that in this Bryce is going like Rabbi Yossi, because Rabbi Yossi is the one who says that the intervals are 7. But after the Gemara brings up Bryce, the Gemara says, I'm going to have Chista halacha like Rabbi Yossi. Chista says halacha like Rabbi Yossi. So again, he's saying halacha like Rabbi Yossi. And this is where it's more blatant, the stira, because this sounds like this goes according to Amemar as well. We said before this line that Chista says halacha is like Rav Yossi. So, and so it's totally redundant. The only way that to make it that it's not totally redundant is that maybe it's a continuation of what Amemar said. Amemar said that he brought her halacha, Rav Chista says halacha is like Rav Gamliel, about when you start saying the same Talmud Matar. And he says on this brisa about the 7 days in a row, halacha is like Rav Yossi. But then on this point, Rashi says it's a stira. It's a contradiction. Because if it's Amemar talking, then Amemar himself is saying both times halachas of statements of Rav Chista. So how could Rav Chista say halacha is like Rav Gamliel, that the seventh is implying that the seventh is the beginning of the rain season, and then say halacha like Rav Yossi, which says that the rain doesn't start until the 17th. So Rashi says in the one line, I just wanted to go through the Gemara to show where it pops out. The three lines from the bottom in Rashi, there's at the end of the line, there's a two dots. It's like not on any heading. Nira le Rabbi, it appears to Rabbi. So this is one of those places where, you know, the person writing over here, it seems like he's quoting his Rebbe, which is probably Rashi, it's a Talmud of Rashi. Dahaki Garcina, this is our Girsa. Amar Rav Chista, halacha ki Rabbi Yehuda. Rav Chista says halacha like Rabbi Yehuda. Da Amar Bechira b'zayin b'mar cheshvan, ba'az matchilin lishol k'dil kama. Who says halacha like Rabbi Yehuda, who says in the seventh of cheshvan, you start, is the first rain, and that's when you start saying the she'ela. So, all he does is he changes the girsa and make it all jive. Once you say that Chista is saying halacha like Rabbi Yehuda, and everything fits. The passage is like Rabbi Gamliel, that the rain starts, you're saying Talamata starts in the seventh, and the passage is like Rabbi Yehuda, the Raisa, that the first rain is in the seventh, and it all stems, it all adds up, it's all consistent. But that's just in Pshat of the Gemara, that to make sense of the halachas. Fine. Now, also on this point of the three times, it's also in the Gem Pshat. Gvuras already asked this question. The Gemara says that the bottom of the page, what is the relevance of the second Revi'ah? The Gemara says, I understand the first Revi'ah was from the St. Talmud Matali Bracha, which we just said that we're passing. St. Talmud Matali Bracha, you start saying on the 7th, that's when we're passing the Rabbi Yehuda. I understand that the Shlishis Leis Anos, the third one, relevance for fasting. It hasn't rained by the third rainfall time that's supposed to fall, then you start fasting. Shnia Lamai, what's the reason, what's the relevance of the second rain? So Gemara brought four explanations. What the relevance? One is for Nedarim. I can read the whole thing inside, but basically outside, Nedarim was that if a person makes a nether ad hageshamim, he makes a nether until the rains, then he has to keep the nether until the second rain. Rashi says the geshamim plural, rains, implies a second rainfall. So the first rainfall and the second rainfall, and once he hits the second rainfall, then he has to then his nether is over. The next opinion was that has to do with Matnas Aniyim, that when the Aniyim, the poor people, let go and give up on getting certain of their gifts that they're entitled to, and even rich people can go and get it because it's like the Aniyim have given up on it, and that's going to be from the second Revi'ah, the second rainfall, because at that point they're not going to want it; it's going to get ruined by the rain. Third thing was that you could walk in people's fields you can't walk in people's fields once it starts raining the second rain, because you're gonna ruin their grain, but before the rain falls you're allowed to take shortcuts through their fields. The fourth answer was that has to do with Shemitah, that until the second rainfall you could assume that animals are gonna eat the food in the field, and if animals are eating the food in the field, then you can store it in your house. The rule is that you're allowed to actually store Shemitah food in your house as long as the animals are eating it. Once the Revi'ah Shniyah comes, second rainfall comes, then it's going to ruin the food, and the animals are not going to want it. And then you can take it out of your field. Now there's a question of Pshat. How would this go? In other words, we said before that the rain falls in a particular day. 3 way of Machlokas, 3, 7, 17, 17, 23, 1. There was a 3 way Machlokas, but what's Revi'ah Shniyah? Is Revi'ah Shniyah going to be on 7th, or 17th, or 23rd? So, if you hold, whatever you hold in that Machlokas, the Brisa said it's a particular day of the month. Now, in these situations, let's say a person makes a neder, ad hageshamim, or the person wants to get the matnas aniyim, wants to get the food from that aniyim didn't pick up. Can he just wait until that day and go and pick up the food from the field? Or does he have to wait for that rain to actually come? Right? A guy makes a neder, I'm making another ad hageshamim. Does he wait until the 17th? And they say, okay, it's Revi'ah Shniyah, this is the time. It happens to be a dry year, it's not rained yet, but it's the Revi'ah Shniyah, it's the time. It's when it's supposed to be, so now I can eat, my nether's over. Or do we say, no, you have to wait until the food is ruined, right? So logically, when it comes to Nidarm, you know, I guess it's, Nidarm is, you're saying Ad Gashamim. Depends how literal you want to take the guy, I'm making it until Gashamim. When it comes to the other ones, let's say when it comes to the idea of the Aniyim giving up on it, one would say logically that the Aniyim give up on it when it's not worth it for them. Once when the food is ruined in the field and it's not appetizing, then that's when they give up on it. That's not okay. Then even rich people, if they want to take that garbage, they can go get it. Okay, but it doesn't make sense that the Aniyim would necessarily be Mesiach Da'at, they'd be Meyayish, and they wouldn't want it from the time as soon as the 17th comes, if it's perfectly good weather, you know. So it seems like there are two things. If you say logically, it would seem like there are two things going on. In other words, the Braisa Naman Aleph is talking about when we would expect the rain to come. The Revi'ah Shniyah we would expect it to come on the 17th or on the 7th, whatever day it is, right? But Lamaisa, the Gemara is saying the Nafkamina is for these halachas when that second rain comes, that's when their field's going to be ruined. Mm-hmm. Now I saw that the Gevura Sari understands this as a pshat. He doesn't even ask the question the way I asked it. He just assumes that it has to be pshat. That of course that's what it means. It means that the aniyim give up on it once it actually rains, and the shemitah you have to take out what's in your what you stored up and put it back out when it actually rains and the animals are not going for it. He comes to it from a different line. That's an interesting question he asked that and do it quickly, so I'm running out of time. But the Gemara says two lines over here. Amar Rabbi Abahu, fourth line down from the wide lines. But on the first word online is Vahatzmicha. So it says right after that, Amar Rabbi Abahu, and Rabbi Abahu said, Revia Rishona Kadesha Tered Bekaka Tefach. The first Revia is in, he says, is enough that it should go down in the Kaka Atefach. And the rain, it goes deep, a tefach deep, that's called Revia Rishona. Shnia Kadei Laguf Ba Pi Chavis. The second Revia is enough that it makes the earth slushy enough and watery enough that you can cover up a barrel with a cover because you can make clay out of it. It's like Play-Doh and enough water. So it's cryptic. What does he mean? Revia Rishona. What do you mean Revia Rishona, Revia Shnia? We know Revia Rishona. Revia Rishona is the date. Look in the calendar, the 3rd of the month. Revia Shnia, look in the calendar, the 7th of the month. What's he trying to give over here? Shi'urim, that when you, this amount of water, when it goes to Tefachin, that's Revia Rishona. Revia Shnia, when it gets all slushy, that's Revia Shnia. So Rashi says, Rashi's addressing this point. Rashi says, about a little more than halfway down the page in Rashi, the first one, the Ramaskal Gishamim, Revia Rishona. The rains in the first Revia. In Bayin Kolkach, if the rains come so much, that the karka is melted, that I guess it penetrates the karka and the ground and it goes through a tefach. They're beautiful, they're great. You don't have to fast. So Rashi says the relevance is you don't have to fast. You want to know when you should start fasting? Look and see if there's enough water going in a tefach. If the tefach deep, that's enough, you don't have to fast. Then he says on the second one, lagufba pi chavis, the second review is to cover up a chavis, that the water is flowing until it becomes tichuach kolkach, it's like softened so much that you can make a cover for a barrel below tosefes mayim without adding more water. The Gemara Sari asks the question, which I think pops out when you read the Rashi. Rashi says the first revia is when there's a tefach of water deep in the ground, you don't have to fast. What do you mean you don't have to fast? What, if you would have less than a tefach, you would have to fast? That the fasting point is not from the first revia. Fasting point is from the third revia. Very hard to understand. Why is Rashi saying that we have to start measuring the first revia? As if Rashi is saying that when the first rainfall, you can measure it. If it's a tiny amount of rain, and it's less than a tefach, let's say it's just an inch, right, then start fasting. If it's a tefach and it goes deep, hand breath into the ground, then you don't have to fast. It's very hard to understand because the Gemara said before you only fast days later on the third revia. So he suggests he doesn't have a good pshat in Rashi, but he suggests that the nafkemina of the tefach is if a guy would make a neder out of geshem. Let's say he made a neder, according to Bezerah, not out of geshamim. Not until out of geshamim, until out of geshem. So he says a neder out of geshem, so according to Bezerah's reasoning, then he's not referring to the second revia, he's referring to the first revia. So if he's referring to the first revia, the first rainfall, so the Gemara would be saying that when is it considered as if it's going to rainfall? It's gone, at least penetrated into the ground of tefach. If it's just a sprinkling of water, that's not called revia, and you still can keep your nether still intact. That's what he suggests. But he says, the way the Gevurah Sari says it, and the way I was explaining before, is that what's the relevance of the second revia? The Gemara said the second revia is when the dirt becomes softened and you can make a clay a cover for a barrel. So what's the relevance of that? So he says I understand that Gemara because the relevance is that for all those things when I need to give up on it. I mean, so you see from that aspect of the Gemara. I mean.